So welcome back to the second and final session of our catechumenate. And as we come to this very final session, just want to remind you of what I said to you at the very, very beginning of the catechumenate. That you haven't chosen Christ, it's Christ that's chosen you. You haven't chosen to become a Catholic, it's Christ that has chosen you. That God has known this vocation that he's given you before you were born. He knew where you were going to end up. And this is God's will and God's calling. And you have responded to his call. Without that call, you wouldn't have responded. But you have done. So that was God's gift to you. God's call was God's gift. And even from moving from one community like the Anglicans into the Catholic Church, that is God's call, because you're being called into the fullness of the faith, into the Church in its complete fullness. And nobody can become a member of the Church, of Christ's Church, of Christ's body. The Church is the body of Christ, without Christ's permission, without Christ's willing it, wanting it. And so I said to you on the very first day, when I said that there's no obligation to continue the course, that you could leave it at any point that you like. I said that because it is a question of grace. It's what God wants. And by persevering through the course, by being here tonight, you have proved to yourself that this is what God is wanting in your life. And so, in a fortnight's time, you will receive these sacraments and make you fully members of the Catholic Church. That will be God bringing to fulfilment that initial calling. And I think that what will happen to you will be, in the perspective of eternity, is the greatest thing that ever happens to you. And because it's God's doing and not yours or mine, I think there must be an attitude of thanksgiving in your life for this vocation to the Catholic Church. You know, I really encourage you to try and put into your daily prayers a prayer of thanksgiving to God for bringing you into the fullness of the faith. Okay? And so, it's a day to be looked forward to now and to be rejoiced in for the rest of your lives. But it's not the end. The day you're received into the Church is, in a very sense, a beginning. It's a beginning of a new relationship with God in Christ. It is a love relationship with God. That's essentially what Christianity is. It's a love relationship with Christ. It's falling in love with Christ. And just as happens at the human level when you fall in love with somebody, it takes you a lifetime to know that person more and more and more, know him more clearly, love him more dearly. That is our parish motto. We may know Christ more clearly, love him more dearly, and follow him more nearly. And I recommend it to yourselves. Because throughout the rest of your lives, you can never stand still in that relationship with God. As it is with marriage, with any love relationship, it cannot just become stagnant. Once it becomes stagnant, it starts going back. Love fades. It's got to be going forward all the time. And God is God. He is infinite in every respect. And our journey into God is not just for the rest of our lives, but the rest of eternity. For the rest of eternity, forever and ever, we will be progressing into our understanding and our love of God. But once, of course, that we see him face to face, that's completely in his hands. But now, it remains not only in his hands, but also in ours. And so we have to keep, you know, our own feet very much on the ground, recognising that we've got to do our bit to achieve this journey, to develop our love for Christ, and to make it grow. And it will only grow, again, under God's grace. Our growth in Christ, our growth in our love for Christ and for the Church, grows by God's grace to us. But God is always ready to give us that grace. The very fact he's called you into the Church, he promises you, I will give you all the graces you need to grow into becoming the person that you should be, the person God wants you to be. A person united to God through the sacraments, in communion with God, filled with love for your neighbour in Christ, part of this great community, this great family of God on earth, a real member of the kingdom of God. That's what the kingdom is. That ideal situation of the human being and the human family in relation to God. And in relation to the ways of God, the ways of justice and peace and so on. And to enter into the Church and live the life of the Church and the life of Christ is in yourself to allow the kingdom to come. But because we're dealing with God, it comes and it comes and it comes. And we can never stop. We've got to keep going on and progressing. And the way to progress, of course, in our knowing Christ more clearly, loving him more dearly, and following him more nearly, is prayer. The sacraments, of course, the Mass, essential. That's the worship of God that God has prescribed, that he expects of us, that he wants of us, that he demands of us. But that contact with Christ, that communion with Christ, which we receive in the sacraments, has to grow and develop and fill out in our daily lives, in our daily relationship with God. The communion that becomes a reality in the Mass, that communion between ourselves and Christ, has to be kind of realised and experienced in our own personal lives. And that experience of communion with Christ comes through prayer. So prayer is essential. So many people don't pray, but prayer is absolutely essential in our lives. And by prayer, I don't mean just tossing off the Our Father and the Hail Mary and the Glory Be, or saying a few prayers in your prayer book. Better that than nothing, but that's not the ideal. The prayer that I'm thinking about is a period of prayer in your daily lives. I would really recommend that. Just as you give time, you know, to be with your children or to watch the television or to watch the news or to go shopping or to do your job. We allot periods in our day to all the different things that we have to do. Now, perhaps the most important thing that we have to do is to cultivate that communion which comes to us from the Eucharist, to cultivate it. And that is to experience what communion really means. And that is prayer. And I think that you should try to devote a period of time every day to prayer. 20 minutes would be perhaps the minimum I would recommend. And during that 20 minutes, just to sit still, quietly, and just commune with God. Just be conscious of God's presence within you through the sacraments. Be conscious of your closeness to Christ. Be conscious of the love that Christ has for you. And prayer is not, it's not a matter of words. I was saying this over the cup of tea a moment ago. Prayer is not essentially a matter of words. It's not what we say to God. Prayer is that relationship between ourselves and God. It's not just words. Words are very superficial things. They express something much deeper. But words can be very superficial. And relationships don't depend on words. When two people who love each other are together, they don't feel obliged to talk. They can just sit there together. And they're enjoying being there because the other person is there. Because there is that relationship there. And they don't need words to express it. It's there. And so it is with us. Our relationship with God, which is created through the sacraments and essentially through the Eucharist, that relationship of love, that relationship of son with father, brother, sister to Christ, that closeness to God in the Blessed Trinity, has been created in the sacraments, and prayer is just experiencing it. Just experiencing it. Just letting ourselves be conscious of what God has done for us. And I feel that it's so, so, so important for you to really kind of not only enjoy your Christian lives, but to bring your Christian lives to their fullness. And I would also recommend very, very strongly the use of the scriptures in your prayers. I don't recommend prayer books in your prayers. I recommend only the scriptures. Because the scriptures are unique. The scriptures are the word of God. And when we read the scriptures, God literally speaks to us. They are, remember we had a whole session on it. They're inspired. This is God's word. God speaks to our hearts. He speaks to our own individuality. He knows exactly how we are and where we're up to. And when we read his word, he has the power to make those words, whatever they're saying, speak to us in the here and now of our lives. And speak to us about the things that we need to listen to. So in that period of silence, I think you should always have on your knee your open Bible. I don't think you should spend the time reading it. I think one or two verses from the Bible would be enough, 20 minutes, half an hour. Just to let one or two verses, especially from the New Testament, you wouldn't read a whole section. Just one or two verses, and just let those verses, those words of Christ or whatever, just speak to you. Let God speak to you through those words. And just, it's this relationship between you and God is speaking to you and you speaking to him, but very often in silence. But the scriptures, I think, are an essential, to my mind, the scriptures are an essential element in prayer. Essential. You must have them. You must use them. And you find, and I promise you this and guarantee you this, that if you give half an hour to God in your day, every day, if you carve out half an hour, you say that half an hour is for God, this is my prayer time, then the half an hour that you have, as it were, lost, will be multiplied in the course of the day. You will do everything else so much more efficiently than you would have done, that you'll get far more things done by having lost half an hour than you would have done if you'd have used that half an hour for doing the things you had to do. I guarantee that. That is absolutely certain. If you give that time to God, then everything else in your day will fall into place. And why is that? That is because for that half an hour, you have been exactly what you were meant to be. For half an hour, you are just what God wants you to be. In that half an hour, that small period of the day, you have been in conscious relationship with God, your Father, your Creator, your Redeemer. You recognize yourself as a sinful human being in his presence, but trying to love him. You've taken on board his word and his love, and that's what God wants. That's what God wants from us. And at that moment, you are so much what you should be that your whole being becomes energized by God. Energized. So that for the rest of the day, you will achieve so much more in your ordinary doings than you ever would if you hadn't allowed yourself to be energized by God in the first place. So you can never miss out, you can never lose out by giving time to God, no matter how busy you are. The first time, I've experienced this myself virtually all my life. But the first time it was drawn to my notice was by an Anglican doctor who said, I pray for half an hour every day, except when I'm very, very busy, then I pray for an hour. The busier he was, the longer he spent in prayer, because he then found that he was so energized that he got through all his work. And if I can guarantee you of anything at all, I can guarantee the truth of that. That, you know, as Christians, we must be men and women who are in love with God. You must love the Lord your God above all things, and your neighbour as yourself. Men and women in love with God, allowing the love and the dynamism of the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts, and then to live our lives as members of his kingdom, being exactly the kind of people that he wants us to be. So please just remember two things now as you become Catholics. One is, remember always that it's God who's brought you here. And secondly, remember to pray every day, and all will be well.